Thanks, Mike. Well, buenos dias and good morning. We've really enjoyed these past few days, although they've passed by so quickly, to fellowship with many of you, part of our Countryside family. I enjoyed especially this time of worship together, which is something that we always count as precious, to be able to be among our family and worship the Lord together. Danielle couldn't be with us this morning. Hopefully she'll be able to be back this evening, but she's not feeling well. And she really wanted to be here with us. Well, I want to take an opportunity before we get into the message this morning to thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your sacrifice for all of the years that we've served in Mexico, but especially for this past year as we've made this transition from almost 13 years in Juárez to now living in the community of Mochicaue, where God has us presently serving in this ministry of church planting. The sacrifice that you've made and your prayers throughout this year have been used by the Lord to just be such a blessing to us. And even though it's been a busy year, as Mike said, with the construction, being in the community and being able to go to the stores and do business and the things you normally do in a community, but now in the community where we've been serving now for some time, has made a big difference. We've been able to build a lot of relationships already with different people. And there's a sense that when you live in a community, you're accepted as a part of them as opposed to being an outsider. And we experienced that in Juárez, and now are beginning to experience that even to a greater degree in Mochicaue. So we're just thankful to the Lord for using you in that process, and look forward to how the Lord will continue to bless not only his ministry in Mexico, but this ministry among our church family here in Olathe. Well, I stand before you today as your church planting pastor, one of your church planting pastors. At Countryside, we understand the Great Commission of our Lord involves the reproduction of solidly biblical, Christ-honoring, Christ-glorifying churches in Brazil, in Mexico, in Ottawa, and prayerfully very soon, other communities here in Kansas and around this area that need to hear the proclamation of the Word of God, faithful biblical teaching, so that men and women, boys and girls can come to know Jesus Christ and grow in Him. We understand that the Great Commission involves raising up local churches that will reflect God's glory and grace among those who so desperately need to hear and understand the message that Christ has given us. So as one of your church planting pastors, having now served on the foreign mission field in Sinaloa, Mexico, among the Mayo Indian tribe for a little more than 13 years, it has been my joy to be involved in this wonderful work that we call missions. So this morning, I would like to use our time together to consider the answer to some important questions concerning the ministry of missions. Why do we as a church train up and send out pastors to plant churches among the pagan peoples of the world, both near and far away? Why do we as a church sacrifice and pray for those who go? And why do they go? What motivates us as missionaries to go, to leave our family and our church, to go preach the gospel and make disciples in distant lands and different cultures? And what motivates missionaries to stay when faced with loneliness and health problems, with oppositions and difficulties, to remain faithful in planting the seeds of the gospel, even at times and in places when the Lord in His providence decides to wait long periods of time in bringing forth the salvation of His people and the outworking of His sovereign plan? What causes a church planting pastor and his family to persevere when the country they live in breaks out into war between rival drug cartels and between those cartels and the people who have been called to protect the nation? What motivation will be strong enough in times like these? We're given many motivations in Scripture, but I believe there is one that reigns supreme. In part, it is the love of Christ that compels us. As 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And Christ also has moved us with compassion for the lost. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things, Mark 6:34. So we have the love of Christ that compels us, the compassion for the lost. And yes, there is a desire to obey the great commission of our Lord, who has commissioned us to make disciples among all the nations. But there's one motivation above all others, and it is the desire to see our great God and King magnified among the peoples and exalted before the nations. As we truly come to know the Lord as He is, we should desire that others join us in praising Him as He is, for the glory due His name. In fact, ultimately, missions is not primarily about saving lost souls and making disciples, but rather about multiplying the worship of the Lord. To be lost, eternally separated from God, is to fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, says Romans 3:23. Men are saved for one ultimate purpose. Men are saved in order that they may praise, worship, and glorify God. Lost sinners cannot praise, worship, or glorify God. They need to come into a saving relationship with Him. According to Ephesians 1, God's work in election, predestination, redemption, and the various aspects of salvation has all been done according to His good pleasure and His will to the praise of His glory. You see, even spiritual salvation of men and women, boys and girls around the globe through the proclamation of the gospel is merely a means to an end. And that end, that ultimate purpose, is the glory of God and the praise of His name. There is one psalm in particular that has become a favorite of mine. And it's become a favorite of mine because of its obvious missionary thrust. And so this morning, I would like for us to dig into that psalm and unpack its truths in order that the Lord might use it to impact our lives for His glory. So if you would, please open your Bibles to Psalm 96. And if you are able, stand with me out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 96, the Word of our Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. You may be seated. Our primary motive in missions, as it is in all of life, should be the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Missions involves reflecting the glory of the Lord and imploring others to join us in reflecting the glory of the Lord to the praise of His name. That is, worshiping the Lord and calling others to join us in worshiping the Lord. So then missions is about multiplying the worship of the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. In these first three verses, we see the mandate of multiplying the worship of the Lord. The first part of the mandate is directed to every person, to all the people of the earth. It is an invitation to praise the Lord of glory. An invitation to praise the Lord of glory. In verses 1 and 2, we see the call to sing unto the Lord repeated three times in rapid-fire succession. This threefold repetition is used in Hebrew poetry to emphasize. It places this summons in the superlative degree. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Sing unto the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Praise him with your entire being. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Not new as in a recently composed song, but rather a new song, the song of the redeemed, sung unto the Lord in a new way, from a new heart, distinctively different than the old songs that were sung when you walked according to the flesh, when you walked in your old ways. This call is for everyone to praise the Lord and to praise him alone. A call to renounce the worship of all pagan gods and to turn to the one true and living God. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth. This is a universal call. It is a global call. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Christ died for the whole world, that is for Jew and Gentile alike, and not for the Jew only. He did this in order that all who would believe in him would come to worship him. Israel had been called to be a light unto the Gentile nations in their day. We too as the church have been called to proclaim salvation and to testify of Christ among the nations of the earth. Jesus said this to his disciples, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth." We continue today in that mission. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. The name of the Lord represents the sum and substance of all that he is. His name represents all of his perfections and his attributes, his holiness and justice, his sovereignty and power, his mercy and his grace. And we are called to bless his name, to bless him for all that he is. We understand what it is to be blessed by God, but how do we bless God? How will we bless him? We bless the Lord in gratefully recognizing him as the giver of all blessing. We see this in verses like Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. "And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you." Also in Psalm 103 verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Psalm 145 verse 10, All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you." Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of salvation from day to day. Proclaim, announce through songs of praise and good news, the good news of salvation. The gospel is, in fact, good news. Sometimes we see the word salvation as it's used in the Psalms in a reference to physical salvation of God's people from their enemies and from the difficulties that they are facing. But here, salvation is more than mere deliverance from a present difficulty. This is the salvation from the very wrath of God. We see this in verse 13, where we are told that the Lord is coming as a judge. that he's coming to judge the world. So this is spiritual salvation, salvation from the coming judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't delay. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. This new singing and praising of the Lord God of salvation is to be a daily occurrence in our lives. This is not a mere one-time decision, but rather a lifetime commitment to the worship of Christ, a commitment for a lifetime to the lordship of our Savior. It is evidenced in a changed life that goes on from day to day to day. Missions is about multiplying the worship of our Lord. We see the mandate of multiplying the worship of our Lord. The first part of this mandate is directed to every person, to all the people of the earth. It is an invitation to praise the Lord of glory. So how will the people of the world hear about God's desire to be worshiped? How will they know? The answer is found in the very next verse. The second part of the mandate of multiplying the worship of our Lord is directed to those who already believe. Specifically in the context to the remnant of believers in Israel, but in application it is directed to us as well. Here in verse 3, we see the exhortation to proclaim the glory of the Lord to all the people of the earth. Declare the glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Declare, proclaim his glory, his wonders. Here is our mandate to multiply the worship of the Lord. This is the Matthew 28 Great Commission of the Psalms. The exhortation to proclaim the glory of the Lord to all the peoples of the earth. If the nations of the earth are to come to worship the Lord, they need to see the Lord as he truly is. We must declare to them the glory of the Lord and proclaim his wonders among all peoples. Next, in verses 4 through 6, we see the motivation. The motivation for multiplying the worship of the Lord. Verse 4 begins with the word for, or because, answering the question of why. Why should we be multiplying the worship of the Lord? Why all the peoples of the earth should renounce their false gods, repent, and come to worship the one true and living God? Why would the Gentile nations surrounding Israel renounce their idolatrous and pagan ways? What would motivate them to do so? And what will motivate the nations of our day to repent and trust in the Lord? What will motivate Mayo Indians in Sinaloa to turn from open idolatry today? And what will motivate our family members and the men and women who live and work among us here in this culture to stop trusting in their material resources, to renounce lustful pleasures, to repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ? They need to see the Lord as he is. They must see the Lord as he has been revealed, as he has revealed himself to us from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And we need to declare the glory of the Lord and his wonders to them all. All the people of the earth, both near and far, need to be exposed to the greatness of our God. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. He alone is worthy of our praise and our worship. Psalm 67, 2 through 4 says that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. So we must go forth and gather worshipers of our Lord. God must be praised, and as we see a world of people around us every day who could care less about God, we must first be even more concerned about God than about them. Yes, we love them. Yes, we are concerned for their souls, but that alone is not enough. You see, God's greatest goal is to bring glory to himself. And as we see God as He is, we should be motivated to proclaim His glory and call others to come alongside and worship Him. As we proclaim Christ as He is revealed in His Word, the Holy Spirit will use His Word to open blinded eyes to see Jesus as He truly is. And to truly know Him is to love Him, to desire to worship Him and Him alone. So, since God's greatest goal is to bring glory to Himself, as we see God as He is, we should be motivated to proclaim His glories, to proclaim His glory and call others to join us in worshiping Him. One of the greatest weaknesses in missions today is that Christ's church is too easily distracted by lesser glories. Even as Christians, many glory in their personal comforts, in their wealth, or glory in their security. And I believe that this is one of the things that has hindered missions in our day. Believe me when I say I can truly understand how easy it is to get distracted here. I like the idea of turning on a faucet with confidence that there will actually be water and not the kind of chocolate milk looking stuff that comes out of our pipes sometimes, but clean water. With the exception of some stormy nights, generally there's electricity here if you want to turn on a light or a fan. Smooth paved roads that stretch across the country where you can travel freely without the delay of randomly placed military checkpoints where you'll be asked to get out of your car so it can be searched. You have doctors who have actually received sufficient training to help you when you're sick. You have law enforcement that you can trust. Parts stores that actually have an inventory when your car breaks down. And there's the opportunity to see your family on holidays and weddings or even funerals. I could go on, but you get the idea. I mean, look at this place that we're in today. I'm actually preaching to people who are not swatting gnats or mosquitoes. I'm not swallowing those critters or wiping the salty sweat from my burning eyes in an attempt to read the words in my Bible as I preach. And when it gets cold outside, as it has, we just flip the switch and we have heat. Never too hot, never too cold. Comfortable. Oh yes, there are many comforts here to distract us, even when we consider just the basics. But take another look around for a moment. Why are we here? We are all gathered here as fellow believers this morning in this wonderful place to worship the Lord because He deserves our worship. And He is too great of a God to be worshiped by us alone. There is an entire world of people out there who do not see Him as He truly is, as He is, all deserving of glory and praise and worship. We must call the people of the earth to join us in praising the Lord. God's elect, scattered around the globe, throughout our communities, need to hear the gospel in order that they might believe and become worshipers that praise Jesus Christ. But that praising the Lord must begin with us. This is a great place. And we praise God for this place where so many can be taught and trained to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But God may be calling some of you to leave this place and to abandon some of its comforts, to multiply the Lord, to multiply the worship of the Lord among the peoples and the nations where so many do not yet know and worship Him. Some of you here may be called to prepare and to go and to serve far beyond your current comfort zone. And don't think that I'm talking just to the young people. Yes, some of them will be called, and you as parents need to be willing to encourage that rather than trying to hold on to them too tightly because of the fears that you have for them or for losing them. But the truth is, God doesn't just call out those who are young and just starting to prepare for life and future. It is admittedly harder when you already have a wife and kids, when you have to sell your house, leave a secure job, and undergo times of intense pressure while being stretched in order to learn and grow and receive the necessary training for the task the Lord may lay before you. Believe me, I know. I understand that. But I want you to know that it will be worth it. So what if it's hard? Our God is sufficient. And our God is faithful, ever worthy of our absolute trust, obedience, and praise. For the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. And while we will await the joy of future rewards one day with Him, I've got to tell you, there's a joy and there are rewards day by day by day as we seek to be faithful in serving Jesus. Whatever the cost, and there are costs, it's worth it. All of life's distractions in pursuit of lesser glories really just rob us of what the Lord wants us to experience in serving Him. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We have been created by God as worshipers. We all desire to worship something. So let me ask you, what is it that really gets you excited? What do you enjoy talking about? Even maybe studying about? What do you get really passionate about? What are you willing to sacrifice your time, resources, and energy for? You see, not all the idols are carved or painted like those the Mayo Indians have where we live. They can come in the form of cars and clothes, houses and hobbies, jobs and 401ks. People get really passionate about hunting, fishing, cooking, shopping and sports, music, new cars or the latest fashions. Some just have to read the newest catalog, the latest blog post, or the tweet that just came in. There's probably some of you here this morning that haven't made it through this service without either sending or receiving a text. Distractions. Have I stepped on anybody's toes yet? I do it because I love you. And I want you to experience what God wants you to experience in serving Him. So let me ask you this morning, is the Lord your passion? Is He the object of your trust? Or are you distracted by so many lesser glories? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Lord should be feared and revered above all gods. The false gods are idols. The Hebrew term here for idol literally means nothings, vanities, empties, big fat zeros. A God who is nothing can do nothing, but the Lord God is the omnipotent creator of heaven and earth. In Psalm 115, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy and because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?' But our God is in heaven, and He does whatever He pleases." We serve a sovereign God. Our Lord is sovereign. Verse 4 of Psalm 115 continues, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Their gods are the corruptible creations of man. But our Lord is the incorruptible creator of man." Verse 5, and continuing, "They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them." You see, if you trust in anything but God, you will become as dead as the thing you worship. Now back in Psalm 96, verse 5, "For the gods of the peoples
are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Lord, Creator, is enthroned as King. King over the heavens, King over the heavens and the earth. Verse 6 speaks of His character in terms of royal majesty. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are His sanctuary. So how well do you know God's attributes? How well do you know the God of the Bible that you trust? To know Him more deeply is to trust Him more fully and to love Him more greatly. We need to keep moving through the text this morning. Verses 7 through 9, we see also the manner of multiplying the worship of our Lord. This stanza of the psalm speaks of how the Lord is to be praised and worshiped. Verses 7 and 8, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. The manner of multiplying the worship of the Lord. Again, here we see that threefold Hebrew superlative elevating this command to the supreme degree. Give, give, give. From the Hebrew word meaning to ascribe to give attention to give heed to the Lord. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Like verses 1 and 2, 7 and 8 are again addressed to all the peoples of the earth, to the Gentile nations, calling on them to worship the Lord in this manner. So we again note the worldwide emphasis and outreach of this passage. God desires more families, more tribes, more peoples, and more nations to worship Him. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Well, it is obvious that we do not add to the strength of an omnipotent, that is, all-powerful Lord. So how do we give Him strength and glory? We do this by acknowledging His power as we praise His glory. We join the 24 elders in heaven saying, worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. Revelation 4:11. All glory and strength belong to the Lord. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. He alone is worthy of glory. This term translated glory carries with it the idea of weightiness, emphasizing the importance of the Lord above all else, His impressiveness in all that He is. To give Him glory is to recognize the intrinsic glory due His name for who He is. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Give, 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 and bring an offering. You see, real worship is about giving to God and not getting something from God. When we come together to worship Him on a Sunday morning, it is about praising Him and giving Him glory, not about how we feel and what we can get out of it. Worship, like missions, is all about God and not about man. Yes, we love men and women and boys and girls. And yes, we are concerned for their salvation. But ultimately, we want to see them made into worshipers of Jesus Christ because that's what He deserves. And this should be reflected in the manner in which we seek to multiply the worship of the Lord throughout the earth. Verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Worship here comes from the term which carries the idea of prostrating oneself, of bowing down, of humbling oneself before the Lord. There's much talk in our day about styles of worship, but styles have changed from culture to culture and generation to generation. Regardless of its outward form, there is only one type of worship that the Lord desires. And that is worship that comes in lowly submission of heart and worshipful reverence and fear. we must worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Someone has said that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, which is, of course, very subjective, but there is an objective beauty, defined beauty. And to God, beauty is holiness. And he who called you, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. God desires worshipers that come to him to worship in holiness. Who can come and worship the Lord? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in the place, his holy place, asked the psalmist in Psalm 24, verse 3. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, verse 4. And Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. To tremble before him is to come before him with the highest degree of fear and awe. Who shall fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Revelation 15:4. Missions is about multiplying the worship of the Lord. We have seen the mandate, the motive, and the manner of multiplying the worship of the Lord. So lastly, I'd like us to see the message. The message of multiplying the worship of the Lord in verses 10 through 13. What is the message that will bring pagan worshipers of the world to repent of their ungodliness and idolatry and to humbly bow to worship the Lord of glory? What is the message that our neighbors, our family members, our co-workers, and the lost who sit here yet today need to hear? Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Our Lord reigns. This is the message that will humble the haughty and multiply the worship of the Lord. Verse 10 again is a call to believers to declare the Lord as sovereign king among the nations. He is sovereign. He is Lord. And he alone deserves our praise. Some would say that God's sovereignty is not a message for evangelism, but rather something that we should hold back and keep only for more mature believers. That is simply not the way it is presented in Scripture. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Our Lord reigns sovereign on earth. He is creator, sustainer, savior, and as the text says, he is also coming as the righteous judge. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all of its fullness. Let the fields be joyful in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. We don't have time to unpack this last section in great detail, but we see here that even creation itself will one day call out in the praise of our Lord. Our Lord reigns supreme on the earth. He is holy and righteous, and he will judge the earth in accordance with his character and his word of truth. No one will escape his judgment. As believers, we must declare the glory of the Lord to all the peoples of the earth because they need to see him as he is, holy and majestic and worthy of worship. Everyone needs to see him as he is revealed here in the Scripture. And the clearest revelation of our Lord, the clearest revelation of the Lord and his glory that we have is the revelation of our Lord as we see him revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. John The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word, that is Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you today, is Lord, and the Lord reigns." If you have not yet come to Jesus with genuine repentance and faith, you are invited to come and to worship Him as Savior and Lord. But first you must repent of your sins. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you must believe in Him and trust in Him as Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, "Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. The day of reckoning is coming to the earth, and those who will not submit to Jesus as Lord today will one day recognize His lordship when He comes to declare His final judgment over all creation. Psalm 96, verse 10. "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge His peoples righteously." He shall judge the peoples righteously. In verse 13, For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. 2 Timothy 4:1 says that Jesus Christ is coming and He will judge the living and the dead. "It is appointed to man once to die, and after that comes judgment." Hebrews 9:27. And according to Romans 14:12, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Verse 13 looks forward to that time when all of creation will recognize Jesus as Lord and judge. Philippians 2:8-11. And being found in appearance as a man, He, that is Christ, humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in the heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For those of you who have never repented of your sins, I urge you today to forsake the false gods and the idols that have been erected in your heart. Repent today of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His work at Calvary. And for those of us who are believers, let us be faithful to declare the Lord, the glory of the Lord, that all may hear. If you don't have a passion for Christ that results in a desire to see others come to worship Jesus Christ, then I'd like to urge you to open your Bible and read it and get to know your Lord. Get to know His attributes, His character. Get to know Him, because the result is you will have a desire that He be worshipped by others as well. Because He's such a great God. He deserves our worship. He deserves their worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations and His wonders among all peoples. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the way it continues to impact and challenge us and motivate us. And thank you for who you are, Lord, as sovereign, yet merciful, one who has all things, because you are the creator of all things and sustainer of all things, Lord. So we just praise you for who you are. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you also are a righteous judge. So we ask, Lord, that you would use your word to impact our lives, that you would motivate us as believers to be so enraptured with your glory that we would desire not only to worship you ourselves, but that we would be motivated to call others to come and worship Jesus. And we pray also for those who are here today, family members and friends, who may have never at this point come to the knowledge of the truth, but we know, Lord, that that's a work that only you can do. We ask that you'd open their eyes and allow them to see Jesus. He is irresistible. So we ask, Lord, that you'd open their eyes and allow them to see Jesus, desiring to repent and to trust and obey. Lord, I pray especially for this church body that continues to minister to us day by day. Pray that you would continue to raise up from this family others who will be called out to plant churches and support those who are planting churches in communities in Kansas and Missouri and other places in this nation, but also among the other nations of the earth, that you would call out those who are willing to prepare and to go and to serve. And for those that you have not called in that way, that you would burden their hearts to be involved in that work of church planting in other ways, and to also proclaim your wonders in the places where they have been called to serve. We ask this for the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.